All right, we're ready.
Mm-hmm. Well, WHUR is so proud to be interviewing the legendary councilman and mayor, Marion Barry. We are just so happy to have you with us today. Thanks for being here.
Well, you know, Monique, thank you very much for inviting me. And I'm no stranger to WHUR. I remember when WHUR went on the air, when Katharine Graham gave Howard University this wave net. And, you know, Quiet Storm and all kind of things, and T.C. and Johnny. Whatever history you all have, I have it.
What do you think about when people say that you're a legend in this town? How does that make you feel? What do you think about?
Well, really, I feel honored, you know, because a legend to me means something very, very deep and very, very serious about the kind of things you've done in your life that would cause people to say that. It's like mayor for life. When that term first started in the city paper, Loose Lips, I hated it because I thought about Papa Doc in Haiti and president for life. But as I got more involved with the city and had done more, I appreciated it more because that gave me a feeling that people appreciated me. So mayor for life is not something I run away from at all. So it's been I've been here 44 years, and it's just a great honor that people would think that people at WHUR want to do that. I'm very honored because, as you very well know, I started from very, very poor circumstances. Born in Mississippi, son of two sharecroppers. That's where you rent the land, you grow cotton and corn and et cetera. At the end of the year, you end up with $200 or $300 because the white man owned the grocery store, owned the cleaners. We didn't have cleaners back in those days. Everything, gas station. We didn't have a car. And so at the end of the day, I'm sure he was cooking the books. He put you on the book. You didn't have to pay any money. And you end up with $200 or $300. And so when I was 8 years old, my mother said, I'm tired of this lifestyle, getting pregnant and chopping cotton and picking cotton. There's no future here. And my father didn't want to leave. And so my grandmother sent her some money, and she left and took me and my sister with her. And that was the best thing that ever happened, quite frankly. I'm sure if I had stayed in Mississippi, I'd have just been, I don't know what. But, you know, this demonstrates you can rise above your circumstances. Whatever your circumstances are, you can rise above it if you have the determination, have the courage, have the commitment, has the tenacity, which all those things I have, to do. So I've been in Washington 44 years. I was involved in the civil rights movement. God bless me not to be hurt, jailed a lot of times, but not shot at a lot of times, but not killed. In fact, I was in Macomb, Mississippi in the 60s, and we were living in the community. That was our philosophy in SNCC. And Reggie Robinson, my roommate, said, I'm going to go home early because we usually have a mass meeting and sort of sit around and talk about that. He came running back down the streets. He said, Marion Barry, someone just shot through the window in the space where you would have been. That was God making that happen. And I could go on and on about the kind of things that God has enabled me to do. He blessed me with a great memory, with good analytical ability, and with a commitment to people. I just love people. I mean, I love what they do. A lot of the times, you know, I tell these guys on the corner, man, y'all ought to stop that. Turn your lives around. And I understand it's an economic situation with them. It's not moral or anything else. I love them anyway, except I don't love what they do, because I don't condone that. So that's been just my history of just loving people, trying to help people, standing up for people.
If we can talk about your fighting spirit.
A little bit.
Dating back to when you were boxing in the ring. What was going on then? How old were you? Tell me, were you any good?
You know, I went to a black high school. Every high school, every school in Memphis was segregated. I went to a sports-oriented high school, Booker T. Washington. And Booker T. Washington had won every state title and track, and basketball, and football, and cheerleading, and band, everything you name, we were at the state champions. We played, you know, the four schools from Nashville, Knoxville, and Chattanooga. And I was too small to play football at the time. I think I weighed 112 pounds, 118 pounds. I went to the ninth grade. And I wasn't good enough to play basketball. And I got in the band. I thought, you know, cause that's where everybody can give you accolades because you're an athlete or you're around athletes. All the ladies do that, you know. And I started with trumpet, but after about 4 weeks, the instructor said, you got to buy your trumpet. I couldn't afford that, so I got out of the band. And I took up boxing. I probably had about 15, 18 bouts, you know, amateur bouts with other schools. Because we had a boxing team that went to other high schools and boxed. Now, I think I lost one fight. And in my last two fights, I got hit so hard, I saw stars. You know, I didn't get knocked out, but I saw stars. I rocked, you know, three rounds. I said, let me try it again, because I'm a never-give-up kind of person. The next time, I did it the same thing. Not the same person, but I saw stars. I said, this is not for me. I'm getting the hell out of here, you know. I'm going to find something else to do. So I focus on academics, you know. I was
a straight-A student even in high school, right? You did very well.
Absolutely. You know, I told some kids the other day, I never made a C in my life. I made some B's occasionally when I was in college, but I have never made a C in my entire life because of my determination. I'm not extraordinary. I've done extraordinary things. It demonstrates that if you have the will and you have the tenacity, you have the drive, you can do anything that you want to do. It may take longer to do. Like, for instance, I go out to these schools sometimes. I have a Rolex watch. And he went, let me see your Rolex, Mr. Barry. Let me see your Rolex. I said, you know, it took me 7 years to buy this Rolex. You got to think about that. Yeah, I didn't get it by hustling. I didn't get it by being slick. I didn't get it by being whatever. So I've always had that fighting spirit. I have it now. You know, I stand up for right. Even if I had to stand alone, I stand. Like the same-sex marriage thing, I stand.
That was a tough one for you, wasn't it?
Absolutely, but it was what I thought was right to do at the time. I've been a long-time supporter of the gay, lesbian, transgender, bisexual community. You know, in terms of Washington, I've been there 44 years. I've done, and this is God working through me, because God works through people. I've done so much, because God enabled me to do it, for so many. You take the whole area of economic development. We have given opportunity to whole bunch of African-American business people, including Bob Johnson. Bob Johnson, when he came to the council, I was on the council, I was mayor then, to try to get the franchise, the cable franchise, he was doing 4 hours of programming, that's all. And the council at that time awarded the franchise with my support and help. He got the franchise. He had to hook up with TCI, a national operator of cable. And in probably 6 to 9 months, he was doing 24-hour programming. He's a billionaire now because that opportunity that I gave, and proud of it, we made more black millionaires than anywhere in the country. We have a 35% program for minority businesses. A lot of black businesses are prosperous now. Some fail, but some prosperous. In terms of downtown, when I became mayor in 78, downtown was asleep. I know Eleanor Holmes and Native Washington don't even say this, but Washington, D.C. in 1970 was a sleepy southern kind of town, quite frankly. There were no new buildings on Pennsylvania Avenue except the FBI building. All of K Street, I mean, all of town downtown was just a small kind of attitude. And look at downtown now. Look at Pennsylvania Avenue. Look at K Street. Look at all the other things that happened down here. Look at the hotels that have come, you know, almost quadruple during my administration. So it cost tourism a high thing. But then look at the neighborhoods. Look at the Reeves Center at 14th and U. That's singularly responsible for the revitalization of U Street. Look at U Street now. It's almost like a little Georgetown. And I don't like it, but that's what it looks like in terms of the population. You know, there are more white people down there now than ever before. I passed by Ben Cheetah Bowl the other night, and I was going to stop in to get me a veggie burger because I don't eat beef anymore or pork. And the line was around the corner. I couldn't believe it. But mostly white people do. And then you look at those who didn't have a voice, ex-offenders. I've been a strong advocate for those number one. Look at public housing. Look at people on welfare. Look at young people. Started the first summer job program in America of that magnitude. Still is the only one. Even though last year my offender messed it up, but we're going to recover from that too. And I'm just a people person. I believe in venturing into unknown areas, uncharted waters to do good. Take Ward 8. Ward 8 is so alive now, it's frightening because we've done so many things in terms of affordable housing, over 6,000 units. We've found people jobs. We have gotten our young people to have a sense of self-worth. Still not there yet. They still, a lot of them still into the negative thinking about themselves.
Would you say there's like one single great accomplishment that you?
No, there are too many.
Yeah.
I'm serious. If you look at all the things, like for instance, give me an example. I served for mayor 16 years. There's hardly any other mayors in America that served that long. I have been reelected and elected 11 times. There's hardly any other mayor or governor or anybody else elected that long, that many times successfully. If you look at my entire life, I've spent over 50 years of my adult life working for people and producing incredible results. I'll give you a couple of examples. I've been working with Peaceaholics. This is a group, Ron Moden and Jahar, who stopped beefs and all that. So, he and I have been working on trying to get these young people to turn their lives around. And I was never so proud in my inauguration. A young lady named Monica, who was one of the leaders of the Chopper City crew, cussed every other word, fighting the Bennett. She's now into her freshman year at Benedict College. That's the kind of thing that makes me feel good about my service and my work and my commitment to people, to particularly the African-American community. You know, I stand up for this community. Mm-hmm. I'm not one of those people who shy away from it because we've been somewhat successful at it.
you have displayed like 9 lives, not only in your health battle, your health battles throughout the years, but also in your political battles. Let's talk about the political battles. When you were like down and out, even went to jail, and you staged a comeback. What does it take to do that? To rise above all of the craziness, like you seem to be able to do over and over and over again.
Well, first of all, there's a documentary being done on me, been 3 or 4 years in the making, by the name Dana Floor. And strangely enough, the title of that is 9 Lives of Marion Barry. HBO has picked it up. It's going to be aired in August going forward. We're going to have a premiere out at AFI June 20th. They're going to handle the publicity. I'm not
That's
too much
so
about
fantastic,
but,
isn't it?
You know, I got a book in the works. But, you know, here's what happened to me. That which I can't control, I don't spend much time worrying about. I just get so pissed at the Washington Post, for instance, the editorial board. I do this, I do that, and they write these negative editorials. I used to get just outraged. So I started getting the paper 11 o'clock at night. Time came off the press. And be angry all night. So I stopped doing that. And I started getting it delivered at home. Upset. Didn't do that. So I got to a point where I realized I can't control those editorials. I can maybe influence them. And so I stopped reading the paper. My press secretary would bring me anything I thought was relevant. So my attitude is that deal with that which you can control. You can control your very life if you want to do so. And the other one is courage. You have to have tremendous amount of courage. You got to be able to have courage and discipline, tenacity. You have to have persistency. You have to let nothing get you down, you know, maybe temporarily. You know, my attitude is a setback is a setup for a comeback. That's just my philosophy about it. I try to push it out there. And so when the FBI and the United States government spent $40 million trying to entrap me, and when the Vista jumped off, incidentally, I was not convicted of one thing at the Vista. 9 jurors wanted to vote for acquittal, and 3 white people didn't, so the government wouldn't bring the case back again. The one count happened at another hotel. My lawyer didn't do a good job. But anyway, I couldn't do anything about getting that 6 months. We appealed it, and he remanded back, gave me the same 6 months. I can't do anything about that except let it happen, be ready to come back after it happened. Now, I must admit, when I got out of Loretto, which is in Pennsylvania, about 400 or 500 people came to get me, you know, take me back to Washington. Reverend Wilson and my wife were leading that effort. That made me feel, it gave me more courage because I was wondering how people would feel about what had happened.
Yeah, I was wondering, when you talked about courage, where does your courage come from? Who gives you that?
From God, seriously. That's the only way I can explain it. I didn't grow up in a community where people were standing up and pushing. My mother and father were, my mother was a domestic. My father, who I hadn't seen since I was 8, was a sharecropper. All around in my community, I didn't have people standing up and saying, here's what we got to do. The majority of people who graduated with me are either dead or in jail or someplace, not productive. And so I don't know where I got it from except God. I don't think there's anything that the mind cannot do. Mm-hmm. I mean, computers are a product of the mind. I don't think they just do it a zillion times faster because the computer is a product of one's mind. Electricity is a product of one's mind. Tall buildings are a product of one's mind. You have the thought first, then you put the thought to paper, then you look at the thought on paper, and then go back to the thought and implement it. That's just a philosophy of mine.
Yeah.
And so if you have that instilled in you from your own self, courage, tenacity, persistence, don't let anything get you down. Of course I get down from time to time, but I mean in general. I tell young people, I say, if you get knocked down, you're going to get knocked down in life. We all going to get knocked down in life. If, whether it's divorce, whether it's kids that won't act right, whether it's drugs, whether it's something, we're going to get knocked down many, many times in life. I tell people, if you get knocked down, land on your back. If you land on your back, you can look up. If you look up, you can get up. If you get up, you can go up. That's just a philosophy. It works for me and for a whole bunch of people. I read the,
even with your health. I mean, goodness gracious, you've been knocked down from getting shot to
that was
of course.
God stopped that.
Yeah.
I'm
Let's
serious.
Talk about that for a minute at that time, you know, that WHUR news reporter was killed in that whole Hanafi horrendous situation.
Right. You know, I walk off the elevator on the 5th floor. I didn't know what was going on. Walking across the hallway, I heard shots ring out. Boom, 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 boom. Glass flying everywhere. And a bullet hit me right above my heart. But that was God who stopped me from penetrating my heart. I really believe that. Because it's a double all buckshots. You use double all buckshots to kill bear and deer and stuff. I survived that. Also, I've had diabetes and high blood pressure for over 20 years. My grandmother was a diabetic. 4 of my sisters were diabetic. It skipped my mother. I'm a diabetic. I have high blood pressure. And it has taken its toll on my kidneys. But again, I didn't sit around and bemoan the fact that I got it. I didn't sit around and say, oh, poor me. I couldn't do anything about that. I could do something about diabetes by eating right and high blood pressure by eating right. But I couldn't do anything about the fact I had diabetes. Mm-hmm. So my attitude is very simple. Look forward. Don't look backward too long. Look back just to learn from what you do. Don't let your past determine your future. Don't let your circumstances determine your future. If people had that attitude, I mean, we would be light years of where we are now, particularly in the black community, who have been abused, discriminated against, and who have been made to think less than themselves. You know, incidentally, we have been physically liberated from slavery. But too many of us are still psychologically enslaved. We are. That's why we had the crab in the barrel kind of attitude. Because during slavery, the white man purposely divided us and separated us. The light-skinned Negro from the dark-skinned Negro. The big-lipped Negro from the thin-lipped Negro. The nappy head from the straight hair. And that psychology, according to psychologists, still exists in too many of us. Shed it. Get rid of it. You can be anything you want to be. That's my attitude. So that's what I think I've tried to do, and I've been successful at it. Plus, I'm a good politician.
Yes, you are. I'm a master politician.
I'm not being egotistical, but I am a master politician. Anybody who can come, first of all, who served for 16 years, that's incredible. That's almost unheard of. The only person did it in the black community was Tom Bradley and Coleman Young. Out of all the black mayors in America, well, you had these, you know, towns in Mississippi with 3,000 people. I'm talking about big city mayors. And then to have national, international television coverage of an allegation that became, in some people's minds, a reality at the Vista. Then to spend 6 months in jail. That would have broken most people. I mean, people they'd have ducked and put ducked their tail between their legs and never to be seen again. But I was determined not to let that happen to me. So I got out. I got out of prison in April of '92, and I ran for city council in the summer of '92, and beat a long-standing person, Ms. Rolock, had been there 16 years, with 65% of the vote. And then I had the audacity to want to run for mayor again. After all of that, it took audacity. It took everything. In 94, to run against Sharon Pratt Kelly and John Ray, two outstanding elected officials, and beat them because of the people's love and commitment to what we've been doing. Now, that was an incredible story. But it just took, I guess what I'm saying about all of this, it's the inner self. It's the attitude, it's the philosophy that ought to drive all of us. Too many people give up too easily. Your blessing's right around the corner. They just give up. Some people run away from challenges. I run to them. And I'm not being egotistical about all this, but God has blessed me with those kinds of gifts to do so. Like with my health. I didn't run away from it. You know, I'm at Howard University Hospital a lot of the times. And I didn't shy away from it. I didn't say, well, secretly run up there and do it. Let everybody know I have this situation. If you don't like it, lump it. You know, that's my attitude.
And it saved your life because you found somebody willing to give you a kidney, a living donor.
Again, that was God. Because let me explain something. I was talking to a friend of mine, Kim. I've known him about 10 years. Like I'm talking here. I said, Kim, you know, I'm going to have this transplant, but I don't have a donor yet, because a living donor is better than a dead donor, because somebody has kidneys has passed, it doesn't affect it. And she said, I do it. I said, you serious? I said, you know how serious this is? She said, yeah, I do it. Then the incredible thing, she came up to Howard Hospital to have a blood type. That's their first match. Her blood type matched mine. I'm a B positive, which is not a common blood type. Here's a B positive. That was God doing that. Think about it mathematically. That on the first time around, someone would come forward whose blood type is exactly my blood type out of the millions of people in the world. That's incredible, isn't it? But that was God. See, I believe this. If you do good unto others, good will come back to you. If you do bad to others, bad will come back to you. It's called karma. And so I'm talking a lot about philosophy because I think that's the basis of and feelings of all of our actions. The other thing which happens in life, which I think adds to my contributions, and I tell young people this, for every decision there's a negative or positive consequence. I tell my son that 28, he said, Daddy, I did this. I said, Chris, you ever think about the consequences? Not really. But now I've gotten to the point now where he thinks about consequences. That's what makes people a legend, I think, is the philosophy, the commitment to people, the courage, the tenacity, and something concrete that people can see. Look at downtown. Look at Washington, D.C. It's on the map now. And people are proud to say, I'm from Washington.
Absolutely.
And in Ward 8, they're proud to say, I'm from Ward 8.
So you talked about being in politics 40-plus years.
I've been in public service.
In public service, 40-plus years. Yeah. When are you going to retire and just enjoy your private life, or is that possible for you?
Well, I think this is my ministry. And when you have a ministry, you carry it out until God says stop. You know, my attitude is, God, send me where you want me to send me. You know, there's a passage in Ruth where Naomi, her mother, was talking to her about going to another place. And Ruth's attitude was that wherever thou goeth, I go. And whoever God you believe in, I believe in. So I believe God has this kind of power to empower you to help people. You got to obey God.
Is there somebody that you can name or see in the horizon who might be the next Marion Barry, the next courageous fighter for the for the people? Who do you say? Who's out there?
Now, you know I'm not going to say a question.
Who's out there?
There's no, you know I'm not doing that. I can't win that one. If I named the wrong person, the other 500,000 of them would be saying, what about me?
Well, tell me this.
My private thoughts.
Yes, I know. That's what I want, but you won't tell me.
I'm not going to share them. Absolutely
not.
What
do you think about the Obama, President Obama, Barack Obama, Michelle Obama? What are your thoughts? I mean, we've witnessed what many people have said to me is something they never thought they would see in their lifetime. Your thoughts?
I thought it too. You know, I came out of the civil rights movement where we were fighting white people for the right to vote, Fannie Lou Hamer and others. And even though I supported Jesse Jackson strongly in 1984, I knew in my heart of hearts America wasn't ready for a black president. But when the day that I hadn't met him in passing, I don't know him that well. I've been in his presence. And when he announced, my heart almost came out of my chest. I was so excited. The adrenaline was running so high. And the brilliant campaign he I'm going to tell you, I'm a politician, elected official, a master politician. He ran one of the most brilliant campaigns of any presidential candidate since the founding of this republic, from my reading about how they ran their campaign.
What was so brilliant about it? Give me something you pulled out of that.
Let me just say that I was out in Oakland at a meeting of the National Forum for Black Public Administrators, and Chris Edley, who served 6 presidents, talked about Barack, what made him so outstanding. One, he was consistently on the message politically. And Chris Edley gave this example. When the race question came, Barack said, people came in all upset. What are we going to do? What are we going to say? What are we going to do? He said, first of all, we're going to calm down. And everybody sort of said, take a deep breath, and they calmed down. He said, now, those people who say that don't know me. My strategy ought to be to get them to know me, not to reach. And the primaries and caucuses, while they were looking at the big states, he's over here looking at those states. That was a brilliant thought. And I could go on and on.
Yeah. I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. One last question.
I like this president.
You do?
I like Michelle Obama. In fact, just yesterday, one of our elementary schools invited me to come to join her at the commencement of the elementary schools. I'm going to be there sometime in June.
It's fantastic. I know. I think they were talking about it on the news today, too, because there's a major getting her to be the speaker.
Yeah.
One final question. I asked you this at the beginning, but what do you think your legacy is to Washington?
I think that's something that you should define, because I see myself having done so much. I think if I had to pick out some series of words or actions, would be that I cared, I produced, I was consistent, I had integrity, and I could be counted on. I mean, I hadn't thought about it that way, but it just sort of came to me.
I thought that was well said. Perfect. Yeah. Thank you so much, Councilman Marion Barry.
Thank you so much.
An honor and a pleasure to have you with
really
us today.
It's really great to be here at WHUR.
And so, you're feeling good. You're looking good.
You know, I told somebody the other day, this kidney is working perfectly. And I haven't felt this good in 10 years, quite frankly. I got energy. I'm not lethargic. And I can feel my organs vibrating, seriously, from the energy in them.
Oh, that's fantastic. So you're eating better. So you said you were eating better.
Oh, a lot better. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got that food.
I went to a dinner the other day, and I ate two dinners.
You know, I don't know if that was good.
No, because I'm trying to gain about 10 or 15 pounds.
Okay.
But I eat the right kind of food. I don't eat just junk food. You won't find me hardly ever at Popeyes and other places with all this greasy food, these Chinese places. I'm not going to be there.
You had me scared for a minute when you said you went to Ben's, though.
No, but I also said I was getting a veggie thing, too. You know, I don't eat chili dogs, beef, or pork, nothing. Uh-huh. And I eat the right kind of foods. I eat vegetables and fruits. This morning, for instance, I had a big thing of cottage cheese and fruit.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to hold me until I get to lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And when I go out to eat, I eat wholesome kind of food. Mm-hmm. The only problem I have is they put too much salt on stuff sometimes, so I send it back.
That's the problem with eating.
I want it back. I tell them up front, don't put a lot of salt on it, but they do it anyway. The worst kind of problem is with soups, because they make these soups.
Oh, yeah. But pre-made.
So when they come out like that, I just send them back.
Thank you so much. All right.